I suspect that we all, in various ways, live with expectations. That we have expectations about matters small and matters great. I know that I, and I suspect many of us, before we make an important decision or do difficult things, we imagine how things will go. We have expectations of what may happen. Expectations, though, can also blind us. Expectations can lead us to think that things will happen in a certain way, and then if they don't, we may have trouble seeing and understanding that. We can actually be blindsided by what we expect will happen. This is especially true, I think, when we're thinking about God and trying to understand the ways of God, because none of us can really and fully know the mind of God. God is so much larger than we are. God's ways are often quite mysterious to us. And anticipating how God will act, predicting what God will do, is difficult. Maybe even impossible for us. Because God continually acts in surprising ways. God does new, unexpected things. God even sometimes brings about the impossible. And so our Advent call, though I think it's a call for the whole of our lives, but especially in Advent, we're called to remain alert, to be vigilant, to be watching for what God is doing. In today's gospel, John the Baptist struggles with this. He struggles with his expectations of how the Messiah will act. Last week we heard from the third chapter, early in Matthew's gospel, where John proclaims the Messiah as the one whose sandals he is not worthy to carry. And John prepares the people for the Messiah's coming with the call to repent. And when he baptizes Jesus in the River Jordan, John is certain that Jesus is the one promised long ago, the one who will deliver the people, the one long expected. Here we are this morning reading just a few chapters later, and things are different for John. John is now in prison, having been arrested. And like the prophets before him, John's in trouble because he spoke truth to the powers of this world. And those who were in power were threatened by what he said. And so for his truth-telling, Herod arrests John, imprisons him, and eventually kills him. And it's from prison that John begins to wonder about this Jesus. Who is he? Is Jesus actually the Messiah? Prison may have changed John's perspective. Or John may be worried that what he sees in Jesus doesn't fit how he understands the Messiah. And so it's possible that John's expectation of the Messiah doesn't match what Jesus is doing. In John's time, it was commonly understood that the Messiah would come to check the powers of this world. The Messiah would come in power and might and overturn earthly rulers, bring about God's justice by force. John sees that this is not what Jesus is doing. And so as John sits in prison, he's aware Herod seems to do whatever he wants. Jesus isn't stopping him. And so this leaves John wondering, is Jesus the one the people are waiting for? Is Jesus the Messiah, the one whose coming John foretold? And so John addresses it. He sends some disciples off to see Jesus and ask, are you the Messiah? But as Jesus often does, he doesn't answer directly. He doesn't say yes. He doesn't say no. He says, go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, The lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. We heard those same words in our lesson this morning from the prophet Isaiah. In that lesson, God tells the people of Israel that their exile will come to an end. The terrible things they are experiencing after being conquered by a foreign empire, after being taken off into exile, are not the end of the story. God's justice will prevail. The people will be restored. And this promise is articulated in such beautiful language. The desert will bloom and rejoice. The fearful have no reason to fear any longer. God will come and save the people. The blind will see. The deaf will hear. The lame will leap. The speechless will sing. And the people will return home with singing. Jesus is using the image of a restored Israel to explain what he is doing and who he is. Jesus is explaining that he's bringing new life, restored wholeness from death and brokenness. In Jesus, the restoration of God is seen. In him, there is healing for the nations, and through him, God's reign of justice will transform the earth. By him, those who are hurting are healed and restored. And there are new signs of life in everything that Jesus does. So he doesn't come with might and power to violently overthrow earthly powers. But nonetheless, he is transforming the face of the earth through God's love and justice. And so Jesus tells John's disciples, go and tell what you see. They are to observe what Jesus is doing and go and report back to John. Doing so might require they suspend their assumptions about who is the Messiah, what will the Messiah do. And that would allow them to actually see what Jesus is doing. They can watch and then tell the story of their experience. Jesus does not offer an easy answer that will satisfy anyone needing certainty or proof. But for those who can suspend their expectations, their ideas of how things must be, for those who can open their eyes, it is clear who Jesus is. Jesus fulfills that prophecy of Isaiah. Jesus brings about the kingdom dreamt of by the people in exile. Through Jesus, the ancient promises of God become real. The kingdom of God indeed comes near in Jesus. And so Jesus doesn't answer directly the question of who he is, not for John, not for you, not for me. Instead, I think Jesus wants us all to wrestle with that question. Who is he? What do we see in him? What do we expect? Jesus is asking the crowds that went out into the wilderness this question. Likewise, Jesus is asking us, what do you expect to see? Jesus leaves John and you and me and all people to decide if he is the one hoped for. We're left to decide for ourselves, and the way to do that is to watch, to see what Jesus is doing, to move beyond our expectations, and to see what God is actually doing. And then we have to decide, is Jesus the Messiah we await? And if he is, then we're invited to follow. And if we follow, part of following is to see and to hear, and then to tell our experience. Through our witness, others come to know the promise of God revealed in Jesus. By telling our experience, others can know new life, wholeness in Jesus for themselves. And so this season of Advent calls us to be attentive, watching, listening, seeing what God is doing. And this is the time for telling stories, for listening to how people experience God at work in their lives. The time to tell our stories of what we see and hear, of how God is at work in our lives, in the life of this parish, and in the world. This is the season for us to expect God present in our lives, the time to be attentive to what God is up to. But we really can only see the things that God is doing by letting go of our expectations, our assumptions, and asking the Holy Spirit to open our hearts, our minds, to the new and unexpected things God is doing. The only certainty is that God is acting and that God will surprise us. God will do things we can scarcely ask or imagine. God will even do the seemingly impossible. It makes me wonder who could ever anticipate that a poor, young, unmarried woman would give birth to a son who is God with us, God incarnate in human flesh. Who could ever imagine God coming among us in the person of Jesus, giving up all power and becoming a creature within the creation? Who could imagine Mary's son going to a gruesome death on the cross and offering his life that destroys forever the power of sin and death, that gains for us the promise of eternal life? I don't think any of us could ever imagine these things, could never predict these things. And I think we will miss other miraculous actions of God if we can't get out of our expectations of the notion of how things must be, of how things will be. And these are important questions because after 3 years of pandemic, I think every aspect of our lives has been affected. There's been so much that has changed that is not as it was. So much that has changed for us as individuals and for us as a parish. We are so different now from how we were in March 2020. I think Advent reminds us that we're invited to pray the Holy Spirit to enlighten us, to expand our hearts and our minds so we see God at work now, that we can love now as we never have before. This is the time to let go of nostalgia, of the desire for what was, and instead boldly to move into this present, away from reticence or anxiety, entering fully into what is unfolding now in this moment and into the future that God is leading us. Advent calls us to see God at work in the very ordinariness of life. Advent calls us to expect that God enters into our lives moment by moment, that God offers us hope stronger than death. The promise is that those prophecies of old will come to pass. The powers of this world will not hold sway forever. God redeems all creation, and God brings us through this time into the fullness of God's reign of love. And this, I think, is cause for deep and authentic joy, for joy that transforms us, joy that casts out all fear and anxiety. Today, Jesus says to us, as he did to the disciples of John the Baptist long ago, "Go and tell what you hear and see." So I wonder, what do you hear? What do you see? What will you tell others? Amen.